All right. Good morning. Thanks for being here. My name is Dove, and when I was growing up, I remember my mom sometimes would tell me to clean my room. And I don't know if you kids can relate to this or any of us. I hated cleaning my room. I was like, man, I know it's a wreck, and I know I need to do it, but mom says go clean your room. It's like, I just don't want to. And it was miserable. But there was a few times when my mom didn't tell me to clean my room, and I actually did it, and it was actually fun. And I actually discovered there was a floor underneath my stuff, and I actually enjoyed the time of organizing things and putting them where they go. But for some reason, when I had to do it, I didn't want to. But when I wanted to do it, it was fun and enjoyable, and it was the exact same thing. And in high school, I worked for my uncle, and he had a steel construction company. And so I would work with my cousins. We'd get up about 6:30, get up early, fight through the morning jog and get to work, go work out in the hot sun, get yelled at and told we weren't working fast enough, and hear a bunch of choice words, mostly directed at us, you know, expand our vocabulary a little bit, and then come home and do it again. And my cousins, they love to hunt. And so sometimes during hunting season on the weekend, they'd say, hey, let's get up tomorrow at 5:30 and go get out there and get a good spot. And I enjoy hunting, but it's not like a passion of mine. I haven't done it in years, but I'd be like, are you serious? We have a day off. We don't have to wake up at 6:30 tomorrow. We can sleep till 9. Why would you wake up at 5:30 when you don't have to? Well, because you want to. And for some reason, getting up at 5:30 because you want to is way more fun than getting up at 6:30 because you have to. And there's power in this. I don't know if any of you are procrastinators. When I am working on something, especially a message I need to give, I find all kinds of fascinating things to research, and I find all kinds of things that I've been putting off that I didn't really want to do that all of a sudden I have the energy to do because I want to do them. And what I have to do isn't that fun. In fact, Google has figured out the power of allowing people to work on what they want to, not just what they have to. And people that work at Google, they get one day a week. They get 20% of their time to work on their own project, to work on something besides their designated job. And from that time has come things like Google Maps, Gmail, all kinds of creative, powerful things. Google is part of the richest company in the entire world. Apparently, they know something about productivity. But I want to say something to you guys really sarcastic. Some of you guys don't know my sarcasm, so I'm just warning you. So that is all fine and good when it comes to hobbies and things of this world. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, you need to forget the want to. You need to set that aside. That's all evil. You need to do what you have to do. You have to start reading the Bible. You have to start telling other people about your faith. You have to keep coming to church. You have to do all these things that you don't want to do. Forget the want to in your life. This is spiritual matters. Okay. Isn't that what we hear sometimes, what we feel sometimes? How did that feel? Are you glad I warned you? That was sarcastic. That was sarcastic. That was sarcastic. And I want to, in one sense, apologize. Pastors like me sometimes pass that on. We pass that on. Our relationship with his God is a full of have-tos. And take all your joy and delight and throw it out the window because it's bad. And everything you want to do is from the devil. And do all the things you know you have to do. And suck it up and do them. Of course, nobody wanted to come to church this morning, but you have to. And that's just, it's messed up. And that's not what God intended for us. And in fact, it's not what the Bible says. Some religions promote that, of all your desires are bad and you should put them aside. But in the Bible, God says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy Him. Let your passion go. Find passion. Enjoy Him. He's the greatest place of joy. And this morning, what I was hearing in my life is trying to be perfect is draining. Man. But being in love is awesome. I'm young enough that to me this isn't a bad word. Trying to be perfect sucks. It really does. Being in love rocks. Being in love is awesome. God intended for us to be in love with Him. To experience love. Man. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That is cool. Delight. Let your heart be captured. Fall in love with God. And those desires you have that you might think are bad, He will satisfy those. Psalm 103 says, He satisfies our desires with good things. Those desires we have, He satisfies them with good and beautiful things. And I've thought about Psalm 37, that delight yourself in the Lord. Is He saying, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart? Meaning, whatever your heart desires, He will give you that. Like, man, I really want a good job, a new job. Okay, and delight yourself in God, and He'll give you a new job. Because that's the desire of your heart. Is that what it's saying? Or is it saying, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll put desires onto your heart from Him. He will give you desires to have. He will give you a heart that's really beautiful and loves Him. And I actually think it's both. I think if we delight ourselves in God, He gives us satisfying things, and He gives us a heart that loves beautiful things. Because He wants us to delight and not just have a duty. Duty, at least for me, becomes a drag over time. But delight is unstoppable. Delight cannot be stopped. C.S. Lewis says it like this: it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, when the infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slums because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Just as a note, the British call vacations holidays. He's saying it's not that our passions are so bad and we need to get rid of them. It's just we get satisfied with pathetic things. We get satisfied with alcohol and sex and ambition when God is offering us eternal delight, full satisfaction. We're happy to make mud pies when somebody's like, hey, let's go to the coast, to the beach, and have a vacation. Ah, that's all right. I'm happy just to sit in my slum. But our passions are good if they're in the right place. Song of Songs says, many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. If we were to offer everything we had for love, we'd be like, you're going to give me that junk? Love is unstoppable. Passion, you can't buy it. It's worth way more. Nothing can quench it. You can't stop it. There was a man who lived about 4,000 years ago. His name was Jacob. And Jacob found the girl that he wanted to marry. And Jacob went to her dad, Laban, and said, can I marry your daughter? And he said, sure. If you work for me for 7 years. Whew, Ooh, okay. 7 years of hard labor. Hot days in the sun. People yelling at him. A lot of choice words to expand his vocabulary. You guys know the drill. And what does it say in Genesis 29? Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. 7 years just felt like a few days because of his love, because he delighted in her. He didn't care. When Jesus was here on earth, he had followers called disciples. His disciples fell in love with him. They got to know him over about 3 years. They went camping together, slept on the mountain together. They roamed around and taught. Sometimes they probably didn't know where they were going to stay or what they were going to eat. They lived together. I'm sure they had challenges together. And they fell in love with Jesus. They saw something in Jesus that they wanted. And then when Jesus died, and they were heartbroken, he came back from the dead. And when Jesus was resurrected, these 12 dudes who loved him changed the face of the whole planet because they wouldn't shut up about Jesus. They went around and said, "This guy that you guys just think is a normal guy, he's the Savior. He came to set us free. He came to pay our debt and give us new life. He's the king." And they stoned him. They cut their heads off. They put him in prison, and they wouldn't stop. And it wasn't because they had to. It was because they wanted to. And one time, when this happened, their response is so beautiful. It's on your pages on Acts 5. It says they called the apostles in and had them flogged. And I don't know, I've never been whipped. But I do know that pain is a really good teacher. Pain is a really powerful teacher. If any of you have had a house with a low ceiling or a certain place, you usually hit your head once, maybe twice. If you hit your head 3 times, you're usually not paying attention. But even without thinking about it, you remember pain. You remember, oh yeah, right there. You got to duck every time. You would never consciously say that. But pain stops us. It teaches us, don't go there. And so these guys got whipped. I'm imagining that's a serious amount of pain. And the intent, obviously, is this pain is going to stop them from talking about Jesus. And it says, then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, the place they were meeting, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Do you think you could stop somebody like that? Delight is unstoppable, for good or for bad. We cannot be stopped. In the areas we truly delight, we will find a way. Whether it's one more cigarette, whether it's one last chance to gamble, even if it takes the shirt off my back, even if it's just one more encounter with somebody I know I shouldn't. Delight is unstoppable. It can drive us to the depths. It can drive us to the heights. It is powerful. But imagine if we truly delighted in God's ways. If we truly delighted, Psalm 119 talks about this a lot. The author's saying, "I delight in your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. Direct me in the path of your commands because I love them. For there I find delight. I delight in your commands. I delight in your law." What? I love your rules, God. They are so amazing. Because they lead me to the best life I could possibly have. It's so different than, oh man, God, you said I'm only supposed to be with this person and not have any intimacy anywhere else. Man, that's such a ball and chain, God. That's awful. Oh, you told me I'm not supposed to covet. But, man, these guys have some amazing stuff. I wish I had it. That would be so great if I did. instead of being like, thank you, God. What amazing ways. Your ways bring life. Your ways are awesome. I love your ways. This is the best possible thing I could have. My wife, I delight in her. She is not my ball and chain. What a gift. Wow. What you've given me. Other people have all kinds of great stuff. Bless them. Thank you, God, right here for my life. God's ways bring good. May we delight in them. So, anyways, I could tell a whole bunch more examples. You guys know probably know the things that you delight in. And one way or another, we'll find time for the things we delight in. One way or another, we'll get to them. We will put energy and time and money into them. So sometimes, you know, honestly, guilt can have power in our lives. And discipline can have power in our lives. Like, I don't really want to do this, but I know I should. Or sometimes guilt, like, yeah, it's the right thing to do, and I need to be a good person and do it. Those have a certain amount of power. But the same act of, like, someone reading the Bible, they could read it out of guilt, like, oh, man, my small group leader told me I should read the Bible, and I should probably do it and check off the box. And the exact same act, someone else gets the Bible stolen from them. They hide in secret. They get disowned and beaten. Their family won't even talk to them because they read the Bible. That one's unstoppable. The same act of like, oh, I should probably talk to people about Jesus, even though, man, it's really awkward and they're going to think I'm weird. Versus people in jail, locked up, and they talk about Jesus in jail. Talk about him anywhere. It doesn't matter. The same thing, the difference between guilt and delight. Sometimes, I'm not going to take away from that. There is a place to just do what you got to do, even though you don't feel like it. And then later on, that joy comes. There is a place for that. Sometimes I don't feel like going to work. Yeah, got it. Sometimes you might not. You might not want to go to school. You might not want to do the things. But there's a place to do what we need to do, and then it's not just, I'm not saying today, I hope you don't hear this, just do what you want to do, and anything else, stop doing it. Just, oh yeah, work, I didn't really like that. What about paying bills? Oh, I never enjoyed those either. But to find delight in the source, so I guess first thing, I just want to give you permission to delight. You have permission to delight. And so today I want to ask God to stir our delight in Him. He is the ultimate delight. So where you're at, we're just going to stop and take a minute and just a quiet prayer between you and God. The prayer of my heart is, Lord, capture my heart. Lord, give me delight in You even more than I... And so right now, what do you delight in? And would you ask God to just turn your heart to delight in Him? God, I thank You that we have freedom to delight and to not just suppress our desires, but to find their fulfillment and satisfaction and perfection in You. God, I ask that You would turn our hearts, that You would capture our hearts, that we would fall in love with You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I just want to share a few different areas that may capture our hearts, bring us delight in God. The first is the gifts of God. And I'm learning more and more in my life to appreciate the gifts of God. God has given us such amazing gifts in life, including friendship. Friendship is such an amazing gift. To have a friend where you really connect and you really understand each other and enjoy each other's company through whatever craziness they have or ups and downs. Music. What a beautiful gift. All different types. But to stir our souls and bring emotion and from the depths to the heights and just passion and life. What a gift. Nature. To see a desert willow in bloom outside in the heat of the summer, or just a flower coming up in the crack, or the majesty of the mountain that points to the magnificence of God, or the stars in the heavens that proclaim how vast this universe is and how small we are, and yet loved. Stories. How amazing to hear stories from people, watch movies, read books, just to sit with somebody and swap stories. To me, that's such a joy. Community, to be connected to a body of people where we work together and interact with each other and have something greater than ourselves. What a gift to be a part of community. Adventures, to go on adventures and discover things and go places you've never been and see new things. Work, I mean meaningful work. What a gift. To like have a place where the efforts that you bring something good to this world. Where it's satisfying. You go, wow, at the end of the day, I brought something. What an awesome gift from God. Food. How cool. I mean, food could just be like an IV, right? I don't know if any of you guys have spent time with an IV. My son afterwards was like, food is so good. It's not just sustenance, but it's flavors and textures and temperatures and combinations. Delightful. 3 days, three times a day, I get to enjoy food. Learning things. And not just the stuff they make you learn, but learning what you really enjoy learning. To learn new things and to find out about the world and people and yourself. And what an awesome gift. Just the ability to think and feel and love and create. What amazing gifts. We can think and feel and love and create. That's awesome. And I think in life, the challenge is sometimes we fall in love with the gifts. And these gifts should be enjoyed and then fall in love with the giver. Because what happens sometimes is we fall in love with the gifts and we just go into them headlong. They become our complete focus, our passion, our life. And we forget who gave them to us. And then they are no longer satisfying. We get sucked up into them. I was reading in this book called Sacred Romance. And it says, our heart will carry us either to God or to addiction. Addiction is the most powerful psychic enemy of humanity's desire for God, which is no doubt why it is one of our adversary's favorite ways to imprison us. Once taken captive, trying to free ourselves through willpower is futile. Only God's Spirit Himself can free us or even bring us to our senses. Our heart will either carry us towards those things or towards God. I love how Paul writes it in his letter to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4, he's talking about some people. He says, some people, they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. So he's saying some cults, they tell you, no, you can't get married. No, you can't eat this. No, you can't have that job. No, you can't wear that. No, you can't go here. But everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. What God has given us is good if it turns us to God. If it brings us where we can say, thank you, God. If it pulls us away from God and into those places of addiction, into those, obviously that's not the intent. That's where that delight drags us away. But if we can receive it with thanksgiving, amen. Enjoy the gifts of your life. God has given you amazing gifts. Enjoy them as gifts from Him. I say that to myself sometimes, like, oh, I gotta just ignore those. No! Enjoy them. It's such a cool thing. But above all of that, God is the greatest treasure. God is better than all the gifts He's ever given. I want to just mention four things that I found in God that to me are treasures in Him. Treasures where in Him I find happiness and contentment. I find life and love and joy and purpose. The first is home. In God, I find my right place. I have found a place where I belong, a place where I am accepted, a place where I'm known with all my junk and all my weakness, and yet I'm invited in the door, a place where I am completely known and loved, where I am desired. The second thing is love. In God, I have found love. Not because I am worthy of love, because He is love. God loves us. He's the perfection of all the imperfect love we experience between each other. There's such a beautiful thing in human love, and yet it's always imperfect. There's always a brokenness. But in God is the perfect, unconditional love. And I've tasted it and enjoyed it. In God I find rest, a place to stop pretending, stop trying to be perfect, stop trying to do enough and be enough and look good enough, and a place to just rest, a place to be, a place to be satisfied. In God I have found security, a place of security of His promise that He will never leave me or forsake me. And He continues to sustain me and keep my life going. He continues to take care of me and defend me, provide for me, pick me up. And even on the day of my death, we all face, I'm secure in that. Because He is faithful, because He's provided a way for me to be with Him in Christ. God is the fullness of all the gifts that we receive. And so today I want to just kind of say that to you guys. You have permission to delight. Trying to be perfect is super lame. Being in love is awesome. Being in love is fun. Trying to be perfect is boring. Being in love is fun. May we fall in love with God, the giver of all good gifts. Delight has power, whether for good or for bad. It is a really powerful, unstoppable force. We were made to delight in God. So go ahead and delight, but don't settle for the lesser things. Find the fullest desires, the fullest delights in God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you that the goal of my life is not to try to be perfect or try to make people happy. It's to enjoy You and to be in love with You. God, I love You. Thank You. Thank You for Your kindness. May we delight in You. God, give us hearts that delight in You, enjoy You, that even in the hardest times, a day with You is better than 1,000 other places that might be pleasant. And even in the hardest times, 7 years of challenge is like a couple days, because we love You. Give us hearts that delight in You, God. In Jesus' name, amen.